Good morning once again. We just had our communion service for those who are perhaps listening online. So this message might be a little shorter. Don't feel bad. That's all right. We'll get it done. And so I'm going to go till about quarter after. So I'm going to do about 25 minutes. Then we'll take about 10 minutes and we'll have about another 25 or 30 at the end. I wish we had more time. You want more time? Come Thursday night. We do about an hour on Thursday night. Sadly, many of you are not taking advantage. We have studied a great many books already. We've done 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We've done Obadiah, Malachi. We're doing Joel, and we're going to do Jonah. If you're not availing yourself of the Thursday night class, you're missing a great deal. I go into more depth in the scriptures and cover a great many things. So try to get them online. I know some folks can't get out in the late night, and it's a long way to come way up there to Vancouver, I know. But I appreciate some of you that come a long distance just to come here. So thank you all for coming. Thank you for your prayers and support. My health seems to be improving day by day. I'm working out like a maniac again, so I guess that's a good sign. If I go down, I'm going down in flames. You know what I'm saying? So. At any rate, good workouts this week, and so I see the doctor in a couple weeks. He said, go for it, and I'm going for it. At any rate, thank you again for your prayers, and do keep in mind the folks who are out in the fire zones all over, but particularly our area and our beautiful wilderness, and also, of course, those who are underwater in Texas and now going to be, sadly, fighting with the hurricanes in Florida. So it's a sad time, and yet, at the risk of sounding like some kind of an idiot, I believe that the country is coming under judgment from God. He is displeased. And you remember that we have different times when God has destroyed entire civilizations. In fact, he was going to destroy the entire Syrians and a place called Nineveh, the capital. And he sent Jonah, and Jonah was so upset, as we're going to see, with going down there to Nineveh, because he said, basically, and I pardon my expression, let them go to hell. Let them go to Sheol, because they're no good. They are just horrible, horrible people. And so he said, I'm not going to do it. So he got a ship and left Dodge. And then he left, you know. At any rate, he got out of town and hooked it up. And he's the only prophet we know that actually ran away from God. I mean, others said, oh, not me, Lord, you know. But he actually ran away, took a boat and tried to get away. And you know the story of Jonah. But the point is that Nineveh believed. Can you imagine a whole Assyrian empire and the capital city of Nineveh accepted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Jonah's preaching? And he was upset about it, which is crazy. I knew you were going to do that and make me look bad. God said, what is wrong with you, Jonah? That's a summary of the book of Jonah. Now you don't have to come. The point is, 150 years later, it was totally destroyed. There is no Nineveh anymore because they got back into the same modality that they had before. It only lasted for about 50 years, and in 50 years, they were already going down the drain. So when you preach the gospel in society, you think, that's it, I did my job. You have to do it over and over. Each generation has to get it. And there wasn't anybody that came to the Ninevites or the Assyrians 150 or even 50 years later. Oh, 50 years. 50 years, they're already attacking Israel. Within 50 years after Jonah. But God gave them grace another 100 years before he wiped them out completely. I think about our country. You know, we've had 200 years. We started off good. But for the last decade, probably the last 50, 60 years, we've been going downhill. We have rejected en masse the greater portion of our society, God, his plan, his word, and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, while I'm on a tear here, I was over at the Vancouver market downtown, and they had this all these booths, not the booths of Tabernacle, but just little booths, tents, and all these people peddling all their philosophy, chiropractic, selling doodads, all sorts of things, against the war, against oil, save the planet. Yeah, it was just kind of nauseating. And I went by one and I stopped for a moment. It was the Baha'i faith. And they had all the different ones. And I stopped and this girl came out and said, oh, she said, are you interested in Baha'i? And she, before I could answer, she gave me the rundown. She said, all religions are going to say, we just love everybody. And we just, and then she took a breath and I said, well, not exactly. I said, Jesus Christ is God. He claimed to be God in the scriptures. And Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and all the rest of them never claimed to be God. So they're not all the same. And I said, Christianity is not like these others. And you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then you can have everlasting life. And then I said, you might be in some of these other goofy philosophies. That's what I told her. And God will forgive you for that because you're saved. You know, and hopefully as you study the Word of God, His Bible, you'll get straightened out and out of these other things. And then, and I gave her a coin and a card, and she was standing there with her mouth open. And I said, nice talking to you. And I walked down. I walked about 3/10 down. Here she comes. Excuse me. And I ignored her. Excuse me. And she said, I have another question. She had some good questions. She was open. So I don't know if she'll ever come. I gave her the card. I said, check it out online. And we talked a little bit about Daniel and some other things along the way. She asked me if I knew Daniel. I said, do I know Daniel? Boy, right into my strong Trump suit. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean the president. I mean strong card suit, if you will. At any rate, I said, well, to tell you the truth, I have about 200 lessons on the whole book of Daniel. I have studied it in the Hebrew and the Aramaic, and I know the languages of Scripture. So you can go online, and you can study and look for any passages in Daniel. And I give a very careful and detailed, painstaking exposition of that particular book. So, I don't know. You know, you just never know what you're going to find there. But she came running after me, and so I gave her another dose, and hopefully the Lord will speak to her heart. And that's how you do it, folks. You don't buy into it. She said, well, there's only one race. And I said, you're absolutely right. So, you know, I agreed with her on that. But then she said, all the religions are the same. And, of course, I said, no, that's not true, and here's why. And then I gave her that. So that's a little aside, but I know each of you have your own way of ministering, but it was just kind of a fun time, and I was just looking around there to see what was available as I got my berries at the market and so forth. All right, well, that killed about 10 minutes, pardon me, but I think these things are significant because they're real life stories, and you probably have your own. So open your Bibles now to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. We can't get out of verse 9 because we've had guest speakers, I've been gone, and all that. And we're still in verse 9, and I don't apologize for that because verse 9 is an important verse. Also, it's part of prophecy. Now, I understand that there's some people who don't like prophecy or they think I teach too much prophecy. Listen. 1/4 to 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. That means that 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 verses is prophecy. Some books, like the book of Revelation, entirely prophecy. Daniel, almost entirely. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, almost all prophecy, some history. The lesser or shorter prophets, all prophecy. We've been looking at those. If you don't like prophecy, you're throwing away 1/3 of the Bible. In addition, most, not all, but most of the New Testament epistles have prophecy. It's part of church age doctrine because in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, they were confused about the future. And so Paul digresses and says in 4:13-18, the rapture's coming. The mystery of the bride and the rapture. That's part of mystery doctrine. We're going to be taken out at the rapture. That's prophecy. Hasn't happened yet. So get over yourself if you don't like prophecy. Now, another thing, if you don't like prophecy and how I teach it, there are thousands of churches out there who don't like prophecy. Go there. Now, I don't mean to be mean, but prophecy is part of the Word of God, and my job is to teach the Word of God, and I will do that. With you or without you. So I just want to clarify that because we have some naysayers from time to time who don't like the way I teach. And I don't mind. You know, a lot of people don't. And that's okay. But there are lots of churches that you can go to. And they have all sorts of things. By the way, we're coming to a section. So if you don't like it, wait till we get to verse 13 if we ever get there. Verse 13 through the end of the book, through chapter 3 all the way to verse 18. All application of the Christian life. All application. If you like application, hang on, we're going to get there. No prophecy. Prophecy ends at verse 12. And then we're in application. It's the other 2/3 or 3/4 or whatever the folks who like that. Now, most of the churches emphasize that and totally de-emphasize prophecy. And if they have prophecy, it's so meager and not only irrelevant, but incorrect as to be non-existent in those churches. And it's sad. When we were down at the conference this last week in Bend at the what was the name, Judy? Berean Call Conference. Hope you can go to that next year. It's outstanding. And the whole emphasis of the conference was the fact that we are in apostasy in the churches up to our eyeballs. And there are very few pastors who teach the Word of God accurately, literally, dispensationally, and prophetically accurate. We are one of those. And I loved everything they said down there. I didn't disagree with anything. Some of them did a little more preaching than I like at a conference, but they were pastors after all. It can't help it, you know. Sometimes we get into preaching. I know I don't do enough of it, so for some people, they'd rather have preaching. Well, again, there are lots of churches. That's all they do. This is a teaching ministry here. We teach the Word of God. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a teaching ministry. It is a graduate level class. But now we try to bring it down for everybody. So even if you don't get it all, you'll get some of it. And if you hang in there, you'll get it. Stay with it. Don't give up. We have people come in for about 10 minutes and they go, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm out of here. Well, that's unfortunate. They have just passed up a great opportunity to learn who and what God is and his magnificent plan, not only for us, but for the future and all the wonderful things. By the way, prophecy, two main things about prophecy. One is it proves the validity of Scripture. Because half of the prophecies in the Bible are already fulfilled literally. Therefore, the other half will be, we believe, fulfilled literally. So it demonstrates the validity, the accuracy of Scripture. The second thing is, prophecy gives us hope. Hope of the future. No matter how crummy it is, no matter how difficult your situation, no matter how much illness or sickness or death or tragedy, and many of you have tragedy, sooner or later, everyone in this room will have some difficulty, if not a tragedy, adversity this year. It's going to happen. As the sparks fly upward, Job says, it's going to happen. And therefore, what's the remedy? The only remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ and his plan. But the future is bright. And the hope, in spite of all the adversity and pain and agony and grief that we suffer, whether it be floods or fires or loss of life or sickness, disease, whatever, ultimately, we're going to have a resurrection body. We're going to live with the King. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ himself in the kingdom and listen to him teach. Does it get any better than that? That ought to excite you. That's the future. That's prophecy. What's not to like about prophecy? Now there's the Christian life. Well, that's what you do now. And there are many, many passages, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, mostly all about the Christian way of life. I've taught Colossians. I've taught portions of Ephesians and others. Some of the Thessalonian epistles, others are as well. The book of Romans, well, it's a textbook theologically. It has some prophecy. It also has application. So the New Testament books are filled with both prophecy and application. The Gospels. That's where we get the last days, which of course are prophesied there in Matthew 24. In all of the Gospels, we have the future. In John 14, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What's that? That's future. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I will come back. And when I come back, I'll take you to where I am, that there you may be also. Comfort one another with these words. Wow. You know. Anyway, that's prophecy. So there you go. Now, we're back here, and that ate up 15, 20 minutes of my time. I got another 10, and we'll take our break, I promise you. But it's important. These things are important. And I don't have if I had 5 hours, we'd be good, but I don't. You want an extra hour? Come on Thursday night. So in verse 9, we left off with Satan, and I didn't quite finish with him. I wish I could have, but I didn't because we just ran out of time. And there's actually 6 verses in Revelation we didn't look at, and I want to look at them quickly. So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And the reason for this is because Satan is a real entity. He is not just an adverse person or an antagonist. He is a person. In the Greek grammar, we have the definite article to particular. particularize. If it's the man, it's not talking about a man. The man means this specific one. And many times, even though in the English we don't have the Satan, because that doesn't sound good in English, the Satan, would not necessarily be that we just say Satan. But in the Greek, the definite article is there. It's in every one of these six passages except one. And in that passage, it is implied by the relative pronoun him. Him, third person singular, meaning a person, not it, but him. And so we have it. So Revelation chapter 2, 13. Look at that. Revelation 2, 13, quickly. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. This is Pergamum, a place called Parchment. They made a lot of paper there. But they didn't just make paper. They made a lot of temples to pagan idols. And, of course, they had a church there. And he said, I write to you, that is the one with the two-edged sword, that's Jesus. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. It's not Satan, it's the Satan. The Satan hangs his hat in Pergamum. He likes it. Why? A lot of temples, a lot of paganism there. And you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Anubis, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where the Satan dwells. So that was, of course, first century. Apparently, Satan hung out in Pergamum. He liked that town. A lot of pagan temples if you study the history of Pergamum. That's the first one. Verse 24, go down further. Verse 24, Thyatira. But I say to you, verse 24, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of the Satan. Definite articles there. As they call them. That is mocking them. Jesus says, they call them the deep things. This, of course, is all these philosophies, and they are multifarious. There are many, many, many philosophies out there that are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus. And they say, these are the deep things of spirituality and mysticism. You need to be indoctrinated into this system, whatever it is, and go through these rituals and do these little things and so forth, and the deep things, as they call them, of the Satan. And he says, I place no other burden on you, so you don't get involved in mysticism and the so-called deep things of Satan. Revelation chapter 3, 9. Revelation 3, 9 says, behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of the Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Now, this doesn't mean all the Jews are liars. Doesn't mean you hate Jews. Just means that there are many Judaizers who do not recognize Yeshua HaMashiach. They don't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. And so he calls them of the synagogue, the assembly of the devil, the Satan, who say they are Jews. If they were Jews, they would have accepted Messiah, right? They did not, and are not, but they lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. Reference to the future. Not in the church age, but in the future. All right? Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, 2. Go there. Now, Revelation 12, 2 does not have the definite article, but the context demands it. So, Revelation 20, let me get there. Verse 2. Revelation 20. This is one that says, what did I say?
You said 12.
Did I say 12? Did we do 12 yet?
No.
Okay, let's do 12. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get finished with them here. We have to go rewind. Okay, Revelation 12, 9. I'm sorry. Revelation 12, 9. Yeah, there it is. Okay. And the great dragon was thrown down. This is in the tribulation time. The serpent of old, who is called the devil, and the Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay? All right. And then Revelation 20, verse 2. Here it says, he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. Now, the devil, there's no definite article in front of the devil. But we already have established that the devil is Satan. And there's no definite article with Satan here. It doesn't say the devil, and it doesn't say the Satan. But, read on, and bound him, not it, not a concept, but bound him for 1,000 years. And through him, third person singular, pronoun into the abyss and shut it and seal it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he, third person singular, must be released for a short time. So we have these passages, and the last one is Revelation 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are completed, here it says, the Satan will be released from his prison. Now, my whole point of this, it may seem like overkill, is that there is, and some of you say, well, what's the point? I believe that there's the Satan. There is a Satan. There is an angelic conflict, and you're in it. And when you wonder why things are going badly in our country, two things. One, sin. Your sin, the sin of our nation, the sin in the world that's permeated from the sin of Adam, it is bringing evil and wickedness into the world. Okay, so that's one part of this. The other is that Satan is alive and well. And of course, Pastor Thiem years ago taught that. And let's see, who wrote the book on Satan's alive and well on planet Earth? Hal Lindsey took that information and wrote a book about it. Satan's alive and well on planet Earth. And so he is. And he may not be bothering with you. He takes care of Trump and other people. He looks for the high officials and tries to mess with them. He may have a 23rd class demon assigned to you because most of us are easy. We're easy to get off point. And therefore, it doesn't take any special thing, a little temptation, and off we go into the weeds of sin. And so we have Satan, we have the demon principles and demonism generally, and we have our own old sin nature attacking us, and that's why there's evil in the world. All right, and the last thing then, finally says, all right, this verse says then, go back to Thessalonians, we got those out of the way. 2 Thessalonians 2, energizing in all power, that is to say that I better read the whole verse so we get the sense. Verse 9, the one whose coming is in accordance with the energizing of the Satan with all power and signs and false wonders. Signs and false wonders. We have signs and wonders of believers. Jesus did signs and wonders. In fact, he says, some of the people, he said, they came and said, do a miracle, heal this guy, heal that guy. And Jesus said, I come here and all you people want to see is a sign. One time he said, the only sign you're going to get, that was to the Jewish audience, is the sign of Jonah. You know about Jonah? 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the great fish. Yeah, that's a sign I'm giving to you. In other words, a future prophecy related to the history of what Jonah did. And so signs and wonders, there are many passages that deal with signs and wonders. We have, for example, Mark 13, positive signs and wonders. Mark 13:22. Oh, here we got, these are the false signs, It says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead even the elect astray. Now, we believe that specifically in the tribulation. But we see it already. People are set up for that. They're looking for UFOs. They're looking for mysticism. And one of the things at the conference, they suggested that all the religions of the world will come together on mysticism. Not on doctrine, not on the books that teach, but rather on mysticism. Feel good. How do you feel about that? I love the news commentary and the people on the television. I don't care if they're interviewing a football player, a tennis star, or somebody else. What's the first thing they say? How does this make you feel? How do you feel about this? And that's where we live, in the feely, touchy-feely generation. You got to feel it. Doesn't matter what's reality. Doesn't matter what propositional truth is in the Word of God. How do you feel? How does this make you feel? And that's how you're going to win all the religions of the world into one under Antichrist. They're all going to want to feel good. And we have ecumenical religions out there by the gross. And in the local churches, it's the same thing. Love, 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 love. Well, we're certainly in favor of love. Jesus Christ is love, but love comes from the filling of the Spirit and regeneration, not just a superficial gushing of so-called love. At any rate, that's one of them. Another one's in Matthew 24:24. Of course, we're familiar with that, basically the same concept. Matthew 24:24. Also in the tribulation, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And so look forward to, and maybe in even the end of the church age, it'll be in the tribulation they'll see signs, but we may see some coming up here in the near, not too distant future. People making signs and wonders, leading people astray. Because why? We're in the throes, just in the beginning of these things. And then, of course, many places. I'll just look at one. I'll give you the others. We'll take our break. Romans 15:19. Here we have the good signs. So this also used elsewhere. Romans 15 and verse 19. Here it's talking about Paul. And verse 18, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyrium, I can fully preach the gospel of Christ. God gave Paul and others, Peter, sometimes Peter's shadow would fall on people and they'd be healed. Miracles, signs and wonders to demonstrate the authority of the apostles as they had demonstrated the authority of Jesus. But in the future, we'll see false signs and wonders. Well, lying wonders, and that finishes verse 9. Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back for another half hour. So take about 10 minutes now. Try to come when the bell rings so we can get going, because I don't want to lose time. I mean, if we could stay later, I would, but we are on a time schedule. So 10 minutes, in and out. See you back here.